Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is the D&K Bible Break live on Chaos Talk Radio. We're live this Monday evening. We just want to say good evening to all those that are joining us online and those that are joining us on the phone line as well as online as well. We just want to say good evening to you. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend, prosperous weekend, and hope your Monday is going great today. Again, we just want to say thank you to joining us for D&K Bible Break live on Blog Talk Radio. With that being said, we can jump right into the show with me and Miss K. We're going to have the overseer on to help us with tonight's subject. We're going to be talking about, don't really have a title, but we're going to try to go into an area that me and Kay is in, and a lot of you may be in this position. If you're not, maybe you can stand to learn how to have a better relationship with your kids. But we're going to be dealing with, how do you deal with your stepkids? How do you deal with your stepkids? It's just a conversation we're going to have tonight. Hopefully we can all learn something, as me and my wife is looking to try to find some new ways or something new biblically, or how to handle certain situations. So with that being said, we want to say good evening to everybody. And not only good evening, Kay, you there?
I'm here. Good evening. Happy Monday.
Okay. Happy Monday. And what we're going to do is I want to send a special shout out to all my sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Pepsi Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Finish Line, and Brentwood Publishing. I just want to say what's up. Also, to our new listeners, that every time Blog Talk, every time Chaos Talk is on the air, we're broadcasting live out of London, England, Germany, and now Nassau. Nassau was the first time we broadcasted out yesterday. It was a really good response we got from them. We just want to say thank you. And we just, you know, God is doing some great things. And I was ministering yesterday, Praise Tabernacle. I was standing in for Bishop Omar. And I kind of got nervous, forgot to mention Nassau, Germany, and London. I think I mentioned it, but not the way I wanted to mention it. But to be able to be over there and to have a direct connect with someone in Nassau, a direct connect with someone in London, and a direct connect with someone in Germany is a blessing, because the word is going out on every station on Blog Talk Radio, not just with Bishop Omar, but with the other shows we have, D&K Bible Break, along with Elder Bazaar on Wednesdays and Sundays, also with the Overseer Tim Jackson's on Fridays and Saturdays. The word of God is going out, and it's going out, and the seed is being planted in different parts of the country, in different countries, as long as in all of the United States. So we just want to say thank you for all those that's listening every week. Whether you listen all the time or if you listen on certain days, we just want to say we thank you. And God is doing a work. This isn't something that we planned, and it just happened. God opened doors, and we just was right there to open the door, and they tell us to come in, and we just walk right in that evening. So with that being said, I'm going to open us up with prayer, and then we're going to get started, and we'll hear from the overseer right after we get done from praying, and we're going to jump right into this subject tonight, and we're going to be dealing with, how do you deal with having an extended family? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you right now. We just ask that you just be with us right now. Father God, if anything in us does not like you, we ask that you hide it right now, Father God. Father God, if anything in us that we've done to anybody, Father God, that we don't know, and all the things that we didn't know, we ask for forgiveness right now, Father God. Father God, we ask that we may be able to show some light, and that your word, and Father God, that you get all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So tonight, me and my wife was having a conversation, and we wanted to, not that we're experts, because we're still learning, when you have an extended family, how do you deal with the kids, or how do you deal with the, as kids, how do you deal with the parents? And we're going to try to deal with this from a biblical way, and we're going to talk about it tonight. I think we have the overseer on. Are you there, overseer?
Yes, sir. I'm here. How you guys doing
all
tonight?
Right. We are good. How are you?
Amen. I'm doing good. Sounds like you guys are doing great, and you guys are doing some awesome things. I believe I heard you say that now the radio station has been extended to Nassau. So that's a
yes.
blessing. Amen. Yes. Reaching more souls.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. So every time you come on, you can mention London, Germany, and now as of Sunday, NASA is connected
wow.
to Blog Talk. So it is a blessing. And again,
amen,
you know, God does all the increasing. And like I said yesterday behind the pulpit, you know, He does the increasing and the decreasing.
That's right.
If you just preach
yeah.
the gospel, doors will open, and that's what we're
going
to continue.
Amen.
To preach the gospel.
Amen.
And even with the DNK, you know, I didn't have no intentions of going anywhere. And if you listen to my wife, she would have been happy with just listening to two or three people that would listen. But when you're going out to thousands, and you don't know who's going to listen or who's going to make a change, regardless of what we're
Amen.
Talking about, at some point, somewhere, the gospel, you can't preach the gospel without someone receiving something. That's just my belief. So with me saying that, we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about this. How do you deal with a blended family? I have I don't want to say my way. I have an idea, but I wanted to bring the overseer on. He has some experience with this. As well as I do, but we're in a new day, new age right now. I don't know if that means anything or do it mean a lot, because the way I look at it, as long as you're putting a word on it, there's nothing new that the word can't handle. But with these kids
Amen.
Today, boy, I tell you, I don't know. I don't know. I'm wondering, is there another book we just ain't seen yet? and I'm not talking, I'm just seeing from what I hear other people go through. And some of the stuff, what I went through, perfect, it's just, it's just difficult. So I'm going to open it up. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And I'm going to, you know, he's no stranger. You've already introduced yourself. Overseer Timothy Jackson out of Dallas, Texas. He has shows on Friday, Freestyle Friday, and also Saturdays, Spiritual Sense. So he's joining us. He's joined us before. So he's no stranger to D&K. We just want to get his what he thinks about it. So with me saying that, I'm just going to bring you in, Overseer, and then I'm going to bring K in. How do you deal from a spiritual standpoint of a blended family? What are some of the things as parents must we do?
Amen. That's a great question, amen. In fact, when you originally told me what the subject was going to be, amen, I said that's a very good subject and a very challenging subject, but not too challenging. I think the blessed thing for me was that at the time that I had gotten married, my wife had already had children. And so the blessed thing was that I received salvation going into our marriage. So that was a blessed thing for me. So I believe the key is love. You have to build a family atmosphere around love. That is the key. And, you know, I've always preached about love, and, you know, I stand on love, and that's just the pinnacle of any family, whether it's all biological or blended. It has to have love. The kids have to receive love, and you have to treat them with love. And so you learn a lot about yourself in parenting as a as you know, as my friend used to say, if they're in your house and you feed them and take care of them, they are your kids. But I understand what you say when you say step kids. But love, I think, is the main thing. Second, as you said, you have to stand on the word. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go. So my thing is love has always been the key as far as raising them and teaching them, because it's a challenge, especially when the kids know their biological dad. They knew their biological dads. And at an early age for children, it's a challenge for them because it's kind of like they have an attachment to their biological dad or the biological parent. And it's like they want them in their life, because even right now, my two older children are not biologically mine, and they're grown. They're like in their 30s now. But I also have my brother's son who lives with us. I'm raising him now, and he's almost in high school. And it's the same thing, same song and dance, that I'm not new to it, but I'm still learning, and I'm still, you know, make mistakes. I still make mistakes. And, you know, you try to learn from those mistakes and say, okay, you may not realize it, but sometimes unconsciously and not trying to, you do kind of have an attachment to your biological children. So you have to kind of be careful, because, you know, it's kind of like it comes natural to show them more affection or more love, should I say, but it comes natural, just something that you do. And so, therefore, you know, in trying to train up your children that are not biological, you have to make yourself aware and conscious that, hey, you know, you got to give them the same amount of attention. You got to have fun with them, and you got to have that inclusion that, hey, everyone is the same. And so sometimes the Holy Spirit will make you realize that hey, you know, you want to make sure that you're showing this child love. And sometimes I even do it. Sometimes I've caught myself even, you know, with my own biological kids, you know, maybe not showing them enough attention. And, you know, it's just something that you just learn. You learn from those mistakes, and you just, you know, say, hey, okay, I'm going to make sure that I show the love evenly, spread the love evenly. And that's what you have to do as you're learning to raise children. But the word is a good thing. You know, like I said, it helped me. I know for a fact that it helped me, because, you know, I had gotten saved right when we got married, and she was saved. And so that helped out a whole lot in our relationship, because one thing you begin to also realize that when kids make mistakes when they're young, they're just kids, because they'll say things, you know, because you're not the biological parent. And you have to not take it to heart. I had to learn that very early on, because I had to realize, okay, I understand what I'm doing for them, but there's, like I say, they have that attachment to their biological parents, so there's some hurt there. And so with that, you have to kind of, like, be easy a little bit, I guess I should say, and just realize that, hey, you know, you still got to love them. But as they grew older, especially when they became teenagers, they began to realize that, hey, this is my dad. This is the man that's raising me and taking care of me. So this is dad. And even now, you know, in their adult lives, you know, my son, you know, he acknowledged that he's still dealing with that, you know, with his dad not really, even though he didn't raise him, just not wanting to be a part of his life. And that's, like I said, that's something that, you know, that I could never understand, because I was blessed to have my natural parents, my natural dad. And so, you know, a lot of times we don't realize certain things. That's why I say you learn, you know, even now I'm still learning. I'm, you know, you never fully learn, but you just have to use love. You have to keep love in front of it and show them love, and, you know, because they need it, because depending on the situation with the step kids, you know, they may not feel, you know, if you're not careful, they may not feel love, because, again, you know, my nephew, he knows his dad. He sees his dad, you know, periodically, maybe once or twice a week. But, you know, we have to make sure that we are showing him love you know, in the household because, you know, his mom is not a part of his life at all. And so it's a challenge to raise. I'll tell you right, it's definitely a challenge.
I just want to jump. I want to just share something. I'm going to let Kay come in because prior to me, before, back early when I was married, and I have a stepson, I don't like using that word step. I don't like it. I never have to use it. But I've been in his my baby son's older brother. I've been raising him since he was five. And one of the besides my seeing my son born, his older brother, I like to say my oldest son, to this day, when he introduces me to anybody, he'll tell you that I'm his dad. We never use the word step. It was never, it's not, he don't call me dad, he called me D. And if he asks you why, it's the answer dad. That was just our little thing that we have between us. So it was never, and when I say this, an issue with his, he never knew his father. And I just want to just, because I'm going to get into some things here later, but from what I did with him, it was an easy transaction. It wasn't hard. Because he had uncles and stuff, but yet I was the father figure. And I had to be conscious of certain things. And even when my son, his brother, was born, I always wanted to name my son. I wanted a junior. But I thought about it, and I felt like if I did that, it would take away from him and our relationship we had built. It would be like, oh, you're going to name him after you. So now I didn't want to have it to be in competition with one another. That's why I didn't name my son June. That was just my choice. You know, that's how I felt. I felt led by that. So I named my son Kajana, and that's pretty much, but I never had an issue. And even to this day, I don't agree with everything my oldest son does, but what parent does. But he's always respected me as his father. There's never been a disrespect. As far as you ain't my dad or this, that, or it has never been.
Right.
We never had to go down that line before. So that was back in the 90s. Now, you know, 2020, you know, the kid's a little bit different. But before I keep on going, I'm going to have my Kay come in and see what she has. So what you got?
Well, I'm just listening to everything that y'all said. And one part, it touched me only because I have a dad that I don't have a relationship with. Even though I want a relationship, I try to get establish a relationship, but there's that rejection there. And I'm 46 years old, and I'm still going through the rejection process of with my biological dad. So when it comes to dealing with I don't have any stepchildren. Well, I guess I do. The guys aren't stepchildren. They're grown men, and they're my sons. I don't feel like they're my Odo's are my stepchildren. So I can't follow that route of step anything. But in regards to this situation, I'm not going to talk about myself. So I was looking and I was studying, and let's take it back to the beginning. Where at the end of the day, Jesus was raised by a stepdad. Joseph was not his biological father. So the God of the universe allowed his one and only son to be raised by someone who wasn't his biological father. And when you were talking about a household needing, you know, all you need to do is, you know, show that love. And that's what we're called to do, especially if it's a Christian household. We are called to show that Christ-like love, regardless if it's your child, it doesn't matter. You should show that love because children will pick up on it. They know if you're real or if you're not. So you can't fake the funk with kids. You can act all nice around the parent, but they're going to know the real deal. So the thing about it is a lot of these, like in our situation, it's more of we have teenagers. So you get into this defiant, and then, you know, they have confusing emotions. They don't know how to deal with certain situations because their parents aren't together anymore. So a lot of the times kids, when you have kids that are older, they act out and they do things.
Right.
And they're more disrespectful to the authority figure that's in their household that's not their parent. So in that situation, it kind of makes it hard for you to show that child love. But at the end of the day, you have to continue to show love. Eventually, they'll get it. Just like you just said, your children, your older kids, they you're their dad. That's you're who they know. So eventually,
right.
they will get it. All you got to keep praying, keep letting the Lord lead you and guide you in your conversations with them. Eventually, it will click and they will get it. That's
exactly.
All I wanted to say.
Well, yeah, that's the key. And it's funny that you said that because I had that written down on my list. The age when I was in their life, they were like little bitty kids. They were like two, barely walking. So, like you say, I'm all that they really know as far as being there. They knew
right.
of their dads because on the weekends, of course, they would go and stay with their dads. And then, of course, they would come home. So they were familiar with their dads. So that posed a little bit of challenge for them because they were like I said, there's a connection there. They desired a relationship with their dad, but their dad never was like me. You know, I was there for holidays, Christmas, with pizza, whatever event, vacations. I was there. I bought them stuff. You know, I was, you know, dad. I was there for graduation. And so I'm what they knew, and eventually as they got older, they just realized, okay, this is dad. Even today, you know, I was there to give away my daughter, you know. I married my son and his wife, you know, at their wedding. And so those things are a blessing. And these are my older children. You know, like you said, I am their dad, and I'm all that they know as dad, and they call me dad. And so even my nephew, it's funny because, you know, he calls me dad, but he calls my wife, you know, Aunt Glenda. And it's funny because, you know, she wants to know, well, why you call him dad? You call me Aunt Glenda. Well, you know, I've always been known as dad, even to other children. We've raised so many kids, and our household is unbelievable. So even today, kids that are grown still call me dad. And it's amazing that are not my biological kids, but, you know, because they're influencing their life, you know, it's a neat thing for me. It's neat for them. And it's a blessing. But like I say, it was easier because I was around them since they were little bitty kids. And you're right, it does. It makes it a lot more easier. Even my nephew, we got him, I believe, when he was five. So it's a lot easier. But when you get kids when they're teenagers, you know, that could definitely be even more challenge because, like I say, when the kids, and it wasn't nothing ugly. It was just that they just had that attachment that, hey, this is my real dad over here, but this is my dad that takes care of me over here. And so it wasn't that much of a challenge for me because it was just some things that they would say, but I understood, you know, as a young man, because I wasn't their biological dad, so I didn't get mad or anything like that, or I didn't feel like it was taken away from my part as dad, because I knew, hey, I am dad, regardless of, you know, how you may feel, and it wasn't nothing ugly. It's just that I understood that they had an attachment, but, you know, once they got past 10, they just realized, hey, you know what, this guy here is just the person that brought me into the world. And this is dad. And so that made
right.
it easier.
Right, it's not
easier.
About the blood. Right.
Exactly.
It's not
exactly.
That blood is not going to, just because that's your blood parent doesn't mean that you'll have that bond with that parent. You know,
right.
The Lord may introduce somebody else in your life that you'll have a stronger connection with. So
exactly.
Being a step-parent is an important role. Being a stepchild is an important role. So the thing about those types of positions is that those are positions where you choose. Those are choices. So you got to choose to love. It's not like
That's
automatic.
Right.
You got to make an effort. You got to, you know, choose to do this daily, to love them, to care for them, to respect them. It's a choice.
So let me ask y'all a question, because
I'm just gonna put my business out there. My father, me and my brother's father, when he married my mother had three kids with three different baby dads. And all I've grown up to see, I never heard my father raise his voice. And he just went on. And whatever he did, it worked. Now, this is back in the 70s. So, and when he became, say, he never had to, there was to have one rule. And the one rule was, and this is as we got a little older, and he got, if you lived under his roof, you had to go to church. That was it. Any other thing, and no one had an issue with it. That was just it. He never went over the boundaries of, oh, I'm your dad. He never did that. But when you show love, it just seems after a period of time, I understand the adjustment period. I get that. But after a period of time, the respect that was given to him from my older brothers and sisters, to me, looking at it today, coming up in the time we were coming up, is amazing to me. And now that, you know, I'm in a unique situation, it's like, okay, I have a little bit of experience and a little bit of knowledge, but when it doesn't, I just want to ask, what happens when it doesn't work? And you're showing love. You're being supportive. You're trying
eventually
to fit in, and yet you keep getting the door closed in your face. How much, and not just for me, but for anyone else that's going through this, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And there's no one perfect. Everyone makes mistakes,
right.
But when you're showing love, and you're not making those obvious mistakes, like when you just got an attitude or whatever, but when you're showing love and being supportive and you're not getting it back, what are you supposed to do then? I guess that's the number one question that I'm getting, and people are emailing. That's the number one. What do you do when you're on the parent end of it,
right,
and you're still dealing with disrespect? So I'm gonna let you and the overseer deal with that. Cause I'm looking for that.
I just want to make a statement. I mean, I'm gonna let the overseer take that question. But the way I look at it is, when you become a step parent, something had to happen in the biological parent situation. There was either a death, there was a divorce. Maybe that dad was just deadbeat. He didn't want to be responsible physically, mentally, anywhere. So it's like a loss for a child. So you gotta kind of like look at it from a child's view as well. Even though you're doing all that you're supposed to be doing, they still experience a loss. And nobody can tell anybody how and what time to get over the loss that they feel.
That's right.
I don't have a problem with when you're saying get over a loss. I get that. But when your person lost and grieving, okay, they're grieving. You can see that. But when it becomes disrespectful over a period of time, I'm not talking about a 6 month, I'm talking about years of just being disrespectful. At some point, there should be some type of shift, because I know and I believe in the scriptures is if you show love and you're showing love and you're continuing to show love, it does two things. It will turn that night into light, or will run that grief, that darkness, it'll run from the light. And if I'm wrong, please tell me, because, you know, I'm trying to learn this myself. If someone is running from the light and the love, what are you supposed to do? And how much are you supposed to continue to deal with the darkness when all you're doing is showing light? And what you're saying, okay, I get it. That's understandable. But how long, and don't no one know how long you're supposed to grieve? I'm still grieving my father's death, and it's been almost 30 years. You never know, but I'm not going to have an attitude towards everybody. But I get it as kids when you have a law. I get it. I understand it. And at some point, you move on. But also at the same time is when you're dealing with, and I don't know, and I don't, I'm just throwing stuff out here. I'm throwing scenarios out here because I believe people especially during this time of the season, need answers or try to get answers. Because we can say pray about it all day. If I'm not giving you the scriptures or some type of know-how or something to look at a little differently than what you were looking at it before, it's kind of hard. So what do you do when you have to deal with years and years of disrespect?
Now, that's a challenge. I mean, I would definitely acknowledge that because as a parent, I'm human too. And so though the kid, you know, like I say with my kids, like I say, it wasn't nothing ugly, but I've talked to, you know, people who have dealt with those type of situations to where, you know, the kid is just continuously just disrespectful. That's a challenge. I mean, we have to continue to be that light as believers, and prayer changes things. And so, and I know that, you know, sometimes you can't change people no matter how much you pray, but continue to pray for them. And that's a difficult thing because a lot of time you get frustrated with that child, you know, when a child just don't want to receive you. And once they have a reprobate mind that they're just not going to receive you, maybe sometime in the future they maybe will, maybe they never will acknowledge you as a parent or accept you as a parent. But we are to still to continue to show that love. And you know, the scripture says, you know, charity suffered long. You know, love suffers long. Love is kind. We have to continue to just walk in the light, walk with the Spirit. That's all we can do. Is just to continue to love people, you know, just continue to be nice to them. You know, that's a difficult thing to do. My wife is a good example of that, because there are times to where, you know, there's just some people I won't deal with. You know, if they funny acting, I just won't deal with them. I'll be on the other side of the room. You know, I'll love them in the distance. I'll speak to them, be nice to them, and cordial to them. That's just me. But I'm just not going to be all up on them. But that's a challenge. Now, my wife is good at that, you know. People will mistreat us. You have people, you know, just, you know, and she'll still be nice and sweet to them. And she, you know, but that's a challenge. I will acknowledge.
Yeah.
Right. Right. You know her. So, yeah. And I understand where you're coming from. I'm with Derek, you know, when you show love and you continue, it's difficult. And I also forgot to acknowledge that I'm also raising my nephew. He now lives with. I told him, man, we can't escape kids. No matter what we do, man, it's like kids will live with. It's like how do we find these kids? How do these kids end up living with us? And I can't begin to tell you the children that have lived with us, but. Amen. I have to count as a blessing. You know, there are these challenges sometimes that you deal with. You know, sometimes the kids fight. I mean, fight. You know, they disagree. It's a challenge raising kids. It's a challenge. But I have to, you know, shine that light. I have to talk to them. And I have to also understand, as Sister K said, they're dealing with hurt. When those parents leave them and don't want nothing to do with them, that's hurt. They lost their parents. Even though they're physically on the earth, they don't want to deal with them, but they wish that they would be in their lives. But they don't want to talk to their parents because they can't understand why you don't want me. You know, even with my oldest son, he acknowledged that. He said he just never understood. And, I mean, and Kay knows my oldest son. He's a big boy. He's big. He's huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, but he's a teddy bear. It's like, you know, he just don't understand why his dad doesn't want his biological dad. Doesn't want anything to do with him. And it's, you know, like I said, I was blessed to have my dad. You know, he was a pastor. He was in the church to be a part of my life. I mean, I think the Most High, even my dad and mama's gone, every day I'm thankful for them because of who he was as a man in my life, you know. And that, and
so,
I
want to stop you right there real quick.
Okay.
Over there.
Yes, sir.
I want to stop you because you said, and I feel the same way you feel. So let me ask you a question, because we're two men who had our fathers in our life. Now, moving forward, I'm quite sure there were some things instilled in you from your father. And because we admire our fathers and we follow the footsteps that they follow Christ that was instilled in us, now we're dealing with
spiritual DNA.
Now you're dealing with people who don't have that DNA, who think, as a father, me and you can relate. Fatherism, fatherhood, being there. We can relate to
that.
We can't relate to absentee fathers.
You know
what I'm saying?
Adam.
Who just don't care. So how do you deal when you're dealing, because there's an issue that, to me, this is it in a nutshell. And I don't mean to discredit the women from this conversation, but as men and as fathers, how do you deal with a child or kids who don't have one, or better yet, have one, but don't want to, there's been a deadbeat. And they look up to the deadbeat. And you and I know, you know, what's popular, because as being fathers, we're not always going to be the popular or make the popular decision.
Right.
But when you're a deadbeat, you can do what you want to do. You don't have to listen to the rules. You can break the rules. And they're listening from that antenna instead of the antenna that you're trying to give, and that's in your DNA. So you got people coming against you, not against you personally, but that DNA that was instilled in you with your father. And if it was instilled in you, you're going to instill it into your kids and whoever you is blessed to raise. But at the same time, if they're looking at you with that DNA that you have and they're rejecting it, it's like they're disrespecting you as well. Am I making sense?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've been blessed and fortunate not to experience that. Because any child that's been in our house that we've raised, you know, eventually they get it because of love. I mean, love is strong. I mean, I can't say it enough. Love is powerful. And, you know, I'm still learning more about love. And that's the only thing we could do is continue to love them. As I said earlier, I know that that's probably not what some people want to hear. But when you have a kid that's just continuously just going to rebel, there's nothing you could do. I mean, it's because what I don't want is for someone to wear down my spirit. Even my biological kids, you know, I deal with things with my biological kids that, you know, sometimes I'm shaking my head and scratching my head like, you know, where did I go wrong, you know? But as I said earlier, I'm learning to not focus or try not to focus on the negative, which is difficult because right now I'm just kind of like dealing with some things with my biological kids. And it's like, okay, where did this come from? Okay. And it's hard because, you know, if you see the other kids are not biologically yours, not doing it, but you see your biological kids doing it, it's like, okay. So love, you know, hinge on love, stay with love, and love, and that's what the Holy Spirit's been. And the reason why I say it, because I'm dealing with some things within the household, and the Holy Spirit is just saying, Tim, love them, just love them. You know, maybe it's something that I'm not doing right. You know, because a lot of times when things go on, especially in my house, you know, even if it's between me and my wife, sometimes I try to think, okay, because I used to didn't do this, you know, but I've grown spiritually and I've matured spiritually to say, Tim, wait a minute, are you looking in the mirror? Maybe it's something you're not doing right. And so I have to evaluate myself and go back to the drawing board and say, okay, so the Holy Spirit says, love them more. Okay, maybe you're not loving more, because love is the answer. And sometimes you may not get the result that you want fast enough, but continue to love them. And if they never receive or accept, just know that you did your part. And that's all that I could do is do my part. You know, I talked to my brother about it. He said, you know what? You're doing your part. You've raised them. And once they get 18, like my dad raised me, whatever I decide to do when I got 18, as he told me, I raised you right. You are grown, you make your choices. But even when they're children, you know, they're making choices. And so all I can do is love on them as much as I can, because that gives me peace of mind when I go to bed at night, that I've done all that I could do. And because the enemy will sometimes attack us as parents, you know, and when you're dealing with kids, you know, as you stated, that, you know, may not be biologically your child, the enemy is finding every way he can to get to us, everywhere, to try to spoil joy, take away your joy, take away joy in the house. And as the head of the household, you know, husband and wife, we definitely have to be careful because, you know, we don't want to get angry. The Bible says to be angry but sin not, but we have to be careful with that anger sometimes, you know, not to be, you know, we have to control ourselves because, like I say, they're dealing with things. So we don't want to say something hurtful to them, you know, because we, you know, in dealing with my nephew, you know, we constantly deal with some things with him. He's gotten a lot better. He's come a long way. And you know, sometimes, you know, I have to just sit down and just talk to him and talk to him in love, you know, to let him know in a loving way, hey, you know what, everything don't have to be scolding. You know, sometimes I have to approach him, you know, even though, you know, it's continuous things sometimes, and even with my biological kids, you know, continuous things, but sometimes the Spirit says, hey, you know what, just talk to him and talk to him in a loving way. You know, this time, you know, don't go at him so hard. But just, it's, and as a man, challenge, you know, because I was raised by a man. My dad was old school, you know, as I told you guys before. My dad was my mom, they was in the 40s or 40 when I was born. They had me. So I had old school parents. So my dad was raised in the old school way. So I was raised that way. And so sometimes in this day and age, I know that we're in a new age with kids, and it seems like kids are, as the Bible says, they're more challenging the race. They're a little bit more hard-headed than we were. But I don't want to be
Stop you right there. Let me ask you a question The only reason I'm asking is because things is popping up. But if the Bible says, you know, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you can put in any situation when it comes to raising up kids. And when we talk about love, that's the first thing we said, you got to have love. You know, I think we all agree, you know, love conquers, to me, love conquers all. I believe that you can love the hell out of somebody. That's just my belief. When you exhibit love continuously, not when you want it, but when your household is built upon love, built upon the word, and yet you have that, but at the end of the day, because we're not talking about 3, 4, 5 year olds, we're going up into young adults, and they see that year after year after year. At some point, and this is just, I'm gonna ask the question, but I'm gonna give my opinion. At some point, if you're living it the right way, and you're doing it the right way, and yet you still getting the rejection, it's not you. Because now, because a lot of times I'll go to bed feeling guilty. So what am I doing? What am I doing? Sure. And you're doing it the exact way that is written in the book. It's not you. It's them. They got the issue. At some point, go ahead.
Just like with anything else, you know, you both are pastors. You are planting seeds. It's not your job to go home with that person to make sure they're doing everything that they're supposed to be doing. The Lord has to take care of that. So if you're planting a seed in a child's life, your job is to love that child, show that child a better way of doing things, communicate with that child, talk with that child. Even if it feels like you're talking to a brick wall and they're not listening, you're still planting a seed. So the seed is being planted. You just got to stay the course. It's going to be frustrating. You're going to be like, this is not working. It's not making sense. And I know God is probably saying his hand. Like, when y'all going to get it? I'm showing you all this love, and you still rejecting me. So that's the way I look at it. We got to – it's hard. I'm living it, and it's hard. And I see a lot of anger and frustration.
But also the Bible says that, you know, when you – and it's in Matthew's, and I believe you know the scripture – when you plant seeds, some of them seeds is going to get, it don't fall, falls on stony ground. And if you're planting seeds and it's falling on stony ground, that means it can't grow. And if it's not growing and you're continuing to do what you're doing, some people, and I don't know this, and obviously you can fill in for me if I'm wrong.
Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So
that's right.
Regardless, stony ground, whatever ground, sinking sand, it don't matter. You're still supposed to be doing what.
No, I'm not saying you don't train. What I'm saying is there's a lot of times, and in it says in the Bible, for the young people to respect, or your days will be cut short too. So at some point, you see a lot of parents feeling guilty for loving their kids, and they're not bonding the way they want them to respond. It's not the fact that you're not doing it, or you keep on doing it. At some point, and like I said, correct me if I'm wrong, at some point you can live a certain life and you can keep on living it. It's up to them at whatever point, whether it's this season, next season, or 10 seasons from now, to receive it. But at some point, you can't allow, there ought to be some sign of growth. It can't just be the same thing over and over and over. And when you plant something, there's a such thing as weed that can choke it. So you have to be careful, because you can do everything right. And over, so you probably know a lot of parents that struggles with teenagers. And I know me and my wife know a lot of parents who do things the right way, and yet the kids just don't get it. They just don't get it. And every time you turn on the news, you see somebody, young person, going to jail, going to a funeral, because they didn't listen. And it was not the parents' fault, but who has to be there to deal with? The parents. They have to deal with that. Who getting stressed out?
Right.
The parents. So at some point, and this is what I'm looking for, and even with my baby son, because I believe last year we went through a horrible season. We couldn't just get on the same page. And then my wife gave me some good sound advice of what to do. And once I did it, it helped me, and this is with my own son, it helped me for him turning into a man, and now we can have a conversation, even if we disagree. It's better than what it was last year because we were real tight, but I'm not going to be my son's friend. I'm going to be his father. And what I've learned over the last year dealing with my son, and with a little bit of help from my wife and from the Lord and being obedient, is I had to change my conversation. You know, I had to be very blunt. This is what I can. So when I did that, it became better. But at the end of the day, you know, that's what my own. But I see the difference after a few seasons of going through what I was going through. There is a difference. Now, that's just a season. Now, how many seasons, and I listen to Kate talk, how many seasons or how long, it's not up to us, but there ought to be some type of signs. There ought to be some type of something to be like, okay, all this ain't in vain. But when it's the same thing year after year after year after year, at some point, you got to shake the dust off your feet and keep moving.
Can I say something about that real quick? I'm just going to make a brief statement about I had a conversation with my girls over the weekend in regards to this subject. And what I've learned is, in like the step-parent situation, a lot of the times the child or the children, they want to keep that parent to themselves. They don't want to share their parent with whoever the new spouse is. So there's like a jealousy thing there. They feel rejected by the other parent. They want to come first in their parent's life, not to have that parent be with that new spouse. It's like there's this defiance that's there. And a lot of the times they have a false remembrance of how life was before their parents got with somebody else. So it's a lot of things that go into the pot when I look at the situation as far as coming into I can only speak for teenagers. I don't know the little kid experience, but for teenagers, that's the feedback that I got over the weekend. So I don't, that's not an answer to a question, but that's just to add on to the reason why some kids are not wanting to bend and come across to the other street, if I can say it like that. Go ahead, Overseer.
Okay, yeah, I just want to say in response to what Derek was saying, and I understand what you're saying, so I'm going to read some scriptures, and then I'll kind of use myself or my family as an example. So I was going to read the same scripture that Kay read, so I'm going to go a little bit further. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up, okay? Train up. So regardless of what age the children come into your life, whether they're small children or teenagers, we do the best that we can, all that we can, okay, to train them up. And what I've noticed about kids that are older, they're kind of set in their ways. You know, we've had kids that come to us in the teenage years, maybe the high school years or junior high year, and live with us. They're pretty much set in their ways because they were raised a certain type of way under a different roof. And so we do the best that we can and all that we can when they come to our house. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way, that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you skip down to verse 15 of the same chapter, it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. We all know that. I was foolish as a child. Yeah. Those are the things that I did. It says, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I'm a big believer in that, in the rod. Hey, man, I don't care what nobody say. You know, the Bible says, spur the rod, spoil the child. But I'm going to go even further. Go over to Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, verses 12, and I'm going to read until just whenever. It says, apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Amen. See, there's a key. Withhold not correction from the child, but thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. And that's really talking about not mainly just naturally, but spiritually is what the word is talking about here. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and he shall deliver his soul from hell. Again, this is a spiritual context. So it's talking about, again, if we raise them in the way of the Lord, then they won't be lost. As I told you, there's a situation within my household, you know, with my own kids. And it's like, you know, where are you getting this from? You know, we didn't do this. You weren't raised this way. What are you doing? And so what I've noticed with the older children is that they went through it and they grew out of it. Same thing with me. I went through it and grew out of it. And my dad, he never changed. The whole time he said, I'm praying for y'all. And he was. My dad was a praying man. It seemed like that's all he did was pray. I remember my dad was so old school. The kids used to joke me and laugh at me because they'd be like, what is your dad in there doing? My dad was old school. You could hear him outside when in the backyard playing. He's in the house praying loud. My dad was old school. That's the type of stuff he did. I mean, they would laugh because my dad was so old school. He used to beat on the chair while he was praying. They're like, what is your dad doing? I say, he's in there praying. And kids thought that they would joke me about that. Even at school, they would joke, your dad be. But my dad was an old school man. He was from the South. He was old school. And his prayer, the Bible says, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. His prayers still are helping me and my children today. I know for a fact that's one of the main reasons why I'm here today, is because of my prayers of my dad, my mom, my grandmother. And so he didn't change. You know, and the reason why I have to say that, because there was six of us as boys. And, you know, boys will give it to you. They will. And we have one particular brother in our family, and still today he's the same. But I look at that and I use that as an example because some of us grew out of it. You know, he trained us a certain way, and we returned. We have a few that hadn't returned. There's nothing that we can do about that. And even today, me and my brother say, we just got to pray for him. We just got to love him. We'll talk to our brother for hours and just talk to him. You know, just show him, just listen to him, just to be there. I did the same thing with my other brother before he passed. We would just talk for hours, just show him love. All we could do is all we could do. Pray for people, show them love. They may never change until they go to the grave. All we could do is all we could do, brother. And I understand and I get what you're saying, but my brother, you know, he's not as nowhere near as worse as he used to be a long time ago, thank the Lord. But he's older now, that's why. But back then, oh, he was something to deal with, you know, because he was.
But you see, but,
not to cut you up, but you see the change in him though. It may not be 100%, but you see the growth.
Life's punishments has worn him more than it. I mean, with age, you know, you can't do the same thing. I mean, he's been to prison a few times, and he knows he don't want to go back. So there's some things there. I mean, I think it's more the consequences, which he know, that kind of keeps him humble. And he's older now. And with age comes different things, humbleness. You know, you do grow out of some things. There's some things I don't desire to do. You grow out of those things. He's grown out of those things. But I think more the consequence hanging over his head is more what keeps him in check. But
well,
again,
let me ask you a question. I guess to be transparent and
same house.
I don't want to put all my business out of there, but I want to ask a question.
Sure.
From one man to another, when you the head of the house and you see nothing but hell being raised all over the house, at some point you get frustrated and you can try to pray it out, but you see the manipulative ways of what's going on. And when you see it, it's like there's nothing being done about it. How do you deal? And then people can say, well, you got to pray. You got to let people, things take time. Well, I understand that. But being from the generation I come from what I've seen, no nonsense. You can still show love, but there has to be a respect as well. And if they're not showing that respect, it's not only they're not showing respect towards you, but towards the Lord, because for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord type mentality. And when they're not serving the Lord and they're doing everything from the music they listen to, but they still listen to it. From when their mama say do this or do that, and they just do what they want to do. And it goes on continuously. And it's like, especially when you see it, you can either confront it, and then there's an attitude. And then it caused the whole, you could tell. It's real funny because when I say this, I'm speaking from experience. You can have a great spiritual sanctuary, and it can be destroyed in minutes. And you can just walk in. It ain't got nothing to do with me. But you can just feel when you walk in the house, something is saying. You can feel it. And you can feel them spirits running around you. You know, what in the world is going on? And then all of a sudden, you know, if eyes could look, you would be dead. And you ain't done nothing. And it's like, wow. And then, you know, when you talk or you try to see what's going on, it's like, got to give it time. But you can't even find a place to have in your own home because these spirits is going around. Now, I understand about training. I understand about seed. I get all of that. But when the spirit, that disobedient spirit enters your home and is there, and then you can't get comfortable, don't you think that would be a problem?
It is a problem.
So how do you deal? And that's my question. How do you deal with that? Because on one hand, you can say all you want, pray about it, and you can say, you know, show love. You're doing that. That's not even an issue. That's not even a question. Then you start questioning yourself. And then when you start questioning yourself, the Lord say to you, why are you questioning what I'm telling you to do? So if you're doing everything that he's telling you to do,
right,
except the obvious and run it out. That's, if anyone can, you can email me, you can call me, if you got my nut, help a brother out. How do you deal with that? Because I'm listening to y'all, and I agree with everything that y'all saying. I agree with it. I have no, but at the end of the day, I'm just going to cut to the chase, as us preachers say, and come right to the meat of the matter. When your home is being overtaken by that disobedient, how do you deal with it?
Amen. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, Verse 7 and part of verse 8. It says, "Beareth all things." Amen. It didn't say some things. It didn't say half things. It didn't say almost all things. It says, "Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things." And the Paul said, "Endureth all things." Paul said, "Charity never faileth." To the end, my dad was the same. To the end, I'm going to be the same with my kids because I realize that love won't fail. I've done all that I can do, and I understand what you're saying. When it all breaks loose and it's in your house, you have to maintain because of who we are. Because there'll be some time that, man, you know, you want to take it to the streets, you know, because I'm just for real because I've had boys. You know, I got men. And, you know, men or something else, boys or something else, they get to smell themselves. And, you know, I've had that with my boys. You know, I got boys. You know, not girls. I got two girls. One is grown. One of them, she's in high school. But boys, you know, if you ain't careful, they'll kind of rear up. And, again, you are reminded.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me stop you right there.
Sure, go ahead.
Let me just because I want to put it. So, as men, we see that. What happens if the mama don't see that? And the mama
deal with that.
Continuously let them smell themselves with no consequence because they know they can go to mama and get away with it. They know they can do that. And at the end of the day, it is what it is.
I've dealt with that. I mean, that's when you and mama have to have a talk. You know, me and mama have to have a talk because, you know, and you have to remind mama who we are. And it's not to say that you're putting her in her place, but with love, you remind her who we are. He anointed me to be the head. That says that in Scripture. Paul wrote that. Paul says it's the Heavenly Father, is Christ, and then man, the father, husband, which is the head of the household, then the wife. And so sometimes I have to remind her, you know, don't overrule my authority. Don't take their side. You know, I've dealt with that, you know, in a harsh situation. You know, as I told you, you know, boys, we're rare up. You know, in your house, you know, at least I've had that experience. I don't know about anybody else. But, you know, again, you know, it goes back to love. You know, I sit down and talk to them. You know, we're good. We're fine. Even with my oldest son, you know, we're good. We're fine. It's the challenges of life. And the devil will try you any way he can. I remember my dad used to say, you know what? The devil can't get to me but through y'all. My dad used to always say that. And that's true. You can have peace. But the devil going to give you hell as much as he can because he wants to get you out of order and out of your worship. And so, you know, and I tell you, with extra kids that come to my house, sometimes I have to ask myself, Lord, why? Why do these kids come here? Because I have to deal with things extra that the parent don't have to deal with. The parent is free. They out doing them. But the kid is here, and when the kid cuts up somewhere in my house, outside of my house, leaving the house at night, stuff like that, I got to deal with that. My wife got to deal with that. And I've dealt with situations to where we may not agree, and I have to sit down and pull her aside and say, you know what? You know, we have to be reminded. Go back to the word. Paul said it best. Charity never faileth, right? Endureth all things. We have to remind ourselves who we are. Who am I? There are times where things will escalate, you know, with my wife because of certain things with the kids. I have to be reminded who I am because sometimes if I'm not reminded by the Holy Spirit who I am, I'll get in my flesh because I know Tim. I know the old Tim. The old Tim used to fight. And so I have to remind myself, who am I? And we have to know who we are as men of God and who he's called us to be in our position and say, okay, who are you? You're not that old person no more. Remember love? I have to be reminded. That's why I like to read the scripture love that Paul wrote. And that's why I read it all the time because I have to remind myself, Tim, go back to love. You're not that person that you used to be. I called you from that, and you shall live and not die. Same thing with my family. I have to speak of my kids. When my son's out and I'm concerned about who they're hanging with, I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Why are you hanging with these boys? Why are you doing this? Why are you going here? I have to, and they're out late at night. All I can do is pray for them because you know what I realized, Derek? I remember when I was young, and we think, at least I thought, I wasn't bad. But when I look back at some of the things that I did, I can see that, yeah, My dad probably felt the exact same way when I was out late at night, when things were going on, people were getting shot and killed, and my dad was worried about me and praying about me and all his boys. We would go out and do all this stuff. He said, you know what? Y'all making me look bad. I'm a pastor in the church, and I hear about y'all in the streets. And we didn't think that because we don't think bad about what
right.
you do, especially when you're young. And I was reminded by the Holy Spirit, said, Tim, you ain't been a son. You ain't no angel. You ain't been always in the church. You used to go out there and do some things. Your dad used to be going down the highway, 200-300 miles away from home, doing stuff. You know, dad worried about you. I didn't think nothing of it. But now that I've gotten old and I look back at my life, I'm like, wow. Man, I probably would give my dad a heart attack. We don't think like that. At least
my brother saved my mom.
I'm sorry, say again?
I said my brothers gave my mom one. So, yeah, you can put a lot of stress on your parents.
On your parents, you do.
That's crazy.
You don't see it. And now I feel like I'm getting back what I gave out. My boys, they be out, and, you know, so the kids rebel. You tell them not to do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, and they still do it. But I still have to love them because one thing I don't want to do is turn my back on them. Because I don't know what caused it. I don't know why they're doing that. I don't know if they feel like they want to feel with the in crowd. You know, I was doing stuff, going out. But my dad kept praying. He kept loving me. And when I changed and got saved, he was so happy. You know, he said, you know, you was one I was really concerned about. And, you know, and I was thinking to myself, like, why are you concerned about me? Because I didn't think I was that bad. But I never knew how he saw me. And so a lot of times we think nothing of what we do, but when our kids rebel, and it is rebellion because I didn't think it was rebellion at the time, but he's right. You know, I come in all kinds of times of night. He didn't want me to do that, sneaking out the house, coming in. And as you get old, you look back and say, well, you know what? Yeah, I did those things too. So I can see, you know, what my kids are doing. I did do the same thing. And so I have to love them and not turn my back. As hard as it is, as much as I want to be a man and tell, hey, get out the house, do this, because if you do that, they can end up worse. And so not saying that you won't put your foot down if need be, but the main thing I want to practice is love. I put love above and ahead of everything because that's all I know how to do. Is love. That's my answer for everything is love. That's what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31 through 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. Paul is talking about love. Just, and as the Sister Kay just said it, we do things to the Heavenly Father. Look at us. We do things, and I'm reminded of that. Tim, you ain't perfect. You know, he looks down and gets tired of us. We rebel. Even as a pastor, there's some times when I can do more. But he looks down and
I agree with everything that y'all are saying. But I guess where I have a problem, and I'm
just
making
plain
for an answer.
Make
I'm
plain.
I'm trying to make it plain.
You want me to reiterate what you're trying to say?
No, because you don't know what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay.
But
go
if
ahead.
You think you know what I'm trying to say, go ahead and say it, and I'll tell you it's true. No, what I'm saying
okay.
is, to me, go ahead.
Okay, I'm just going to touch on one thing, if you don't mind. Okay, so I have a 16-year-old son, and he is very charming and very, can I say manipulative? He know how to talk to his mama. And husband, I know you touching on that a little bit. So he know how to talk to me. And because of the type of person I am, everybody knows how to talk to me. It's not that I'm a pushover. I don't hold grudges. I will let a situation go after I've discussed it. And when I'll drop it. And so that's an error that I have. But all my kids know that. So they know how to, if I can say, run game. They know how to talk to me to get what they want.
Yeah.
Even though I try to be hard, it ain't going to last long. It's like, okay, I may do it for a couple of minutes, not literally minutes, but I may just do it for a short period of time, and then a week later, it's back to la, la, la. So And then I know in our household, that's an issue. That's probably our the most major issue that we have, is because of the way I approach the situation when it comes
I wasn't bringing that up with this issue there. It's just because you know, you said it, and I've had two boys. You know the game. And when they can go, the thing about it is disrespect is disrespect. If they tell you what ain't going to work, you're not taking on the work, and then they're wasting my time, but they told you. And it's okay with you because you like, okay, what, boom, 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 and now you're trying to be a mediator between the situation. It's just not good. Not only that, also when people know that you have a pushover, and it's only going to, you know, I'm going to hear a fuss for 5-10 minutes and that's over with. Well, see, my father was a little different when it came to that. I said he never had to raise his voice. But when you came home and the door wasn't open, but back in the 70s, kids a little bit different. It meant something. And I'm not suggesting we do that here, but what I'm saying is, if you have the household and we're under one accord, there ought not be no sweet talking. And sometimes, and I'm just saying this for all of us, sometimes for you women that got extended family, sometimes you need to take that responsibility to that man and let the young man talk to the other young man, because if they're manipulating you because you feel sorry because they have a loss, after a certain period of time, life goes on. Ain't saying they ain't gonna have no issues. Ain't saying they gonna ask no questions. But life goes on. There's still rules and regulations that you live by. And if you're living by a godly lifestyle, but the other person ain't living by a godly lifestyle, and you can sweet talk them, you might as well just move me out the way and continue to let it raise themselves, because that's really what's going on. I say that in plain because that's really what happened. If I can sweet talk my wife into giving me the rent money to go spend it somewhere, and she gives it to me, she got to keep on them, and I keep sweet talking, pretty soon there's going to be a breakdown. Pretty soon there's going to be some issues that you can't recover. It's the same way with a child. If you keep sweet talking, pretty soon there's going to be something to come up where it can't, because you can't sweet talk someone when you're in jail. You can't sweet talk someone when you get kicked out of school. You can't sweet talk someone when it deals with someone outside of the house. And as men, and this is why it's important for every man to be in a child's life, whether it's a nephew, a cousin,
right,
whoever, you got to be there, because these men sweet talk these women right to prison and right to the graveyard. That's what they do. And then we make excuses, and if you can just follow the trail, make excuses, and excuses on top of excuses on top of excuses, that's what's wrong. See, men don't make, the whole time I've been listening to Overseer talk, and not one time he made an excuse for himself. I made a mistake. We all make mistakes. He didn't blame nobody. You can't do that. And people, he had a father in his life. Yeah, he had a father in his life. But at the end of the day, most men, we don't make excuses. And it's hard for me to see these young kids make excuses. The reason I did this is because of this. It's because of this. Okay, when you gonna man up and just be like, I messed up?
Right.
And when you do that and you hold them accountable for the simple thing of taking the garbage out, hold them accountable. And if there's no consequences, then they're gonna continue to follow that same suit over and over. And then when you tell them, because of the way he is, when you tell them that, it clicks in. I didn't know I was from a divorced family until someone in school told me. I thought my dad was my dad, my mom was my mom, and that was it. And if my dad told me I didn't have to do it, I didn't have to do it. Or my dad told me to do something, I had to do what he told me to do. I didn't know the difference of divorce because my father was there. He was there. Even against what my mama would say sometimes. So my mama was a trip. She would try to tell us not to listen to him. And again, I never heard my father raise his voice. He just smiled and told us, always respect your mama. I don't care what, disrespect her. Don't worry about me. Just always. And it did something to us where when he would say that, I ain't going to let no one talk about him either. So whatever my mom would say about him, it wouldn't impact the other. Because he never retaliated. He never said this, that, or that bad thing about her. So I don't know. I'm just trying to find answers. But we are. I didn't realize it was this late. And I'm sorry. But go ahead, Overseer. Say what you got to say. And Kay, I'm going to let you close this out. But keep talking.
Amen.
If you have anything else to add, add it too, Kay. If you have anything else to add, don't take your time.
Amen. Yeah. I think it's just a characteristic of women to have a soft spot for boys for some reason. I deal with the same thing. And raising most boys, I see the same thing. You know, it's like, okay, how do you get away with that? But, you know, again, you just got to – I just come back and be a man. And, you know, there are times to where, you know, you want to take it to the extreme. And sometimes you have to because you said something when you said consequences. That's the main thing that runs through my mind. And I know that we did things and we were blessed and fortunate. And that's the one thing that I always pray to the Most High, that he gives that same grace and mercy that he had upon us when we was growing up to my children. Because a lot of times as parents, especially when you're in a church, especially when you're a pastor, now I see what my dad went through. You don't want your kids to be rebellious. You don't want your kids to be disrespectful. You, especially if you didn't do certain things, you don't want your kids doing it. And you begin to question, okay, so what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? You know, what could I have done different in raising this child or these children or these two or three? And, you know, you beat yourself up over it. And I know how I do as a man. You know, sometimes my wife is there snoring. I'm sitting up, you know, thinking about things. And, you know, it's mainly the boys. And we've been blessed and fortunate with the girls. And you know, it's like most of the time boys kind of give you a little trouble. But, you know, it's just like you said, sometimes you have to come down. Sometimes you have to be firm, you know, as you said with your son, you know. And it works. And I believe that if we continue to do it with love, it works. You know, I'm a firm believer in love. I'm a firm believer that it works. The main thing that I really just pray to the Most High is that, you know, he has mercy on them. Because when you say consequences, you know, you're right. You know, if something happens to them, you know, just how many of our young men in our community or just young men, period, have ended up in prison, locked up for years, for a simple mistake? How many of our men have ended up in the graveyard or hurt, you know, or something happened to them to where they're hurt for life, you know, due to a decision that they made? And when you're young, because I try to understand, well why are they doing this? And I look back when I was young and I said, oh, because my dad was praying for me. That's why when I was out somewhere that I had no business and nothing happened to me, you know, thank the Most High. It's because the prayers of my dad and my mom and our foreparents. And I keep praying for my kids. And that's why I was saying, if you remember some weeks ago, maybe about a month ago, I was saying the Holy Spirit has been telling me to just pray. Pray for people, especially your family. Pray, and I encourage everyone, pray for your loved ones. The world needs it. We need it. You know, if your kids are cutting up, pray for them. That's the best thing that you can do is continue to pray and don't stop praying for them. I'm up at night praying for my sons, praying for my kids, my sons and my daughters, grandkids. Pray for your family because prayer does change things. Prayer works. And so I'm praying, you know, my son, one of my sons, you know, he's maturing now. He has his own place. And I see that certain things have matured in my other son. You know, he's home more. So we're thankful for that. You know, anything that you can get that's positive out of it, I'm thankful for. Because if it looks better than what it did before, I have to be grateful for it. That means that the Most High is working it out. I'm believing for everyone. If you're having kids, whether you're biological or if you say step kids are not biological kids and you're having issues in your home, I'm praying for you. We all need prayer. We all got, and the main thing is to focus and center around love because, you know, always going to the rod and hollering and whatever you do, try a different tactic. Like Derek said, you know, try something different. If you need to be a little bit more firm with the situation, be a little bit more firm. If you need to approach it differently, maybe not as firm, approach it from that angle. But be guided by the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit lead you in your situation. And I'm just a firm believer that it's going to work. That's for me. I believe that he's going to train up a child the way he should go. Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, so we in our house, we do have a issue with the trash. My son, he'll walk past, he will go to work and not touch the trash. He'll go to school and it's a situation with trash. And no matter how many times I tell him to get the trash, it's like, oh, I'm going to get it, or, oh, I forgot, oh, I'm on it right now. It's always a, oh, reason. And I'm like, my husband's like, he has no, I don't like consequences. What up, make him get his own ride to work? Is that a consequence? Take his TV. He doesn't care about no TV. He don't care if I take his game. It's like, okay, you can give him, he hasn't had a whooping in about a year, but you can get a whooping. None of that stuff seems to matter. It doesn't, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get him to listen or follow suit on what I'm telling him to do. Because my consequences is like, he don't care about any of the consequences. He's so nonchalant with it. Like, okay.
I would stick with it. Whatever your consequence is, don't let up. Issue it out. If it's punishment, boys are a little bit more callous than girls. It's funny that you said that because my dad and my stepmom, because my mother passed when I was younger, but I was in high school, my dad got remarried. So that's why it didn't really matter. I was like 17 when he got remarried. So it was like I'm basically grown, so it didn't really matter that much. But they had the same issue with me. And sometimes, I guess that's why I say, when I see my kids do things, sometimes I just smile. And the Bible even says that, because the Bible said that, I think it's over in Acts. He said that in times past, he looked at us and he winked, meaning that I see you making mistakes, but I'm going to let you get by. And sometimes, you know, when you said that, my parents had the same exact problem with me. I don't know what it was. They tell me to empty the trash. I would not empty the trash. It's funny that you said that. And it wasn't that – I'm not going to always say that it's purpose. Sometimes it may have been, but I would. I would forget. And me and my stepmom would go at it. She'd say, well, how did you forget to empty the trash? You walked by that trash. You didn't see that trash. You know, we would get into it. And my dad would pull me to the side and say, you got to empty the trash. She asked you to empty the trash. It would be – it's funny now. It wasn't funny then. But – you know, sometimes it's boys. I don't know what it is. You know, I deal with that now with the boys. I look at them sometimes, and I have to smile and just shake my head. And like,
I was trying to be quiet and let y'all take it home.
Oh, go ahead.
But on that issue, and this is just my experience with it. Me growing up, I lived in an apartment with my mom. My dad had a nice house. My dad bought a tractor. And he told me he wanted me to come over there once a week on Saturday, whatever day I picked to cut the grass, on a riding tractor. Well, after the second time, I didn't do it. He told me about it. He didn't yell, fuck, go, telling me how irresponsible I was. And my stepmom would say some things, too. So what my father did was, he ain't say nothing else to me. He paid someone to come do it. And the guilt that I felt, because not our conversation, we couldn't even have a conversation. And the only thing I say about that is this, is if I got to take the trash out, there should be consequences in the household. If I pay the bills, if I do all this, and the one thing you cannot do, and I don't believe today with all these games and codes and stuff you got to remember, we didn't have that back in the day. If you can remember all that,
right,
you can't remember the one thing, and sometimes it's so bad he'll take one to the curb and won't take the other one, and it's like, okay, I don't understand it, and I'm about ready to lose my mind because But it's not, to me, it's not that. It's just a sign of disrespect. Because it's not only, that's not the only thing he does not do. And if you only want to be true when she says something, he does it when he gets ready to. It's not the fact that he forgets. Because I can understand that. He does it when he gets ready to. He can come home and be like, take the trash out. He won't get it taken out until 2 days later. And then he has an excuse. And it's okay. But when he wants something, we got to move hurdles. And right now we're in a situation, I'm not ready to move. I don't want to get my car fixed right now. They don't move when it's my when I'm on my time. So why should I move on their time? Marv, you gonna hurry up the carpet? Hurry up, they need to. No, they didn't do that last week when I had to go. They took their time. They was cool with it. So why can't I be cool? I'm not being childish, but you reap what you sow. And if you want to be like that, and me, I'm being nice because of the position I'm in, I'm showing love. But at the same time, much is given, much is required. I understand being young because they're not young kids.
Right.
They're adults, young adults. And if you do that to your mama and you're going to turn around and do it, and I don't like it, and I'm telling you I don't like it, but you continue to do it, okay, now there's a problem. And if you don't see the problem, and it's not just that issue, there's a lot of other issues that people do what they want to do when they want to do it. It's not just a boy problem. Anybody do what they want to do when they want to do it. They be nice when they want to. Then if they don't want to be nice, they just ain't nice. To me, that's a choice. You just being ignorant. It ain't about you got issues deep down inside. Because now we're putting, this is behavior that they're allowed to get away with. And if you keep allowing them to show hate and disrespect and say that it's a problem, then it's going to be a problem. But you have to kill that with the love. I'm going to love the hell out you. And with that, this is just my opinion, and I know we're going overboard, and I'm going to keep iterating this until someone say I'm wrong. But if you don't show love, and all love is like the truth will set you free. Some truth hurts. Sometimes when you love someone, it hurts. It ain't going to always be lovey-dovey. It ain't going to always be a big heart with red color in it. When you love, sometimes you got to do tough love. And if you don't do tough love, the love that you're exhibiting is that soft, exorbitant love that people take advantage of. And every young man and young woman know you got to have tough love. I love the hell out of you. But that don't mean you can come in my house any kind of way. You can't act in any kind of way. You can't talk to your mama any kind of way. You cannot do that. That's not because they got issues. That's because that's a, it's a behavior trait that's learned. And it can be unlearned. But if you allow it to go on and want to put something else with it, it's going to be there longer. It's just like a little bad boy. You know this boy bad. You know he ain't got no discipline. Well, you know you're going to have to whoop that boy. You know you need to whoop it. It ain't the fact that they're bad because they want to be bad. They're bad because there's no consequences to them being bad. And if you don't whoop a child at a young age, they can continue to get older to practice the same thing they've been practicing from day one. My little granddaughter, she comes over here, and she got a she will, the way she talked to her mama is like, wow. But there's no consequences. There's no, you can yell all day long. Because the kid can yell and scream too. There's no consistency. And when there's no consistency, we want to label it now. Oh, they just hyperactive. Oh, this is because of this. This is, no, it's because you didn't train them up. And training them up and showing love is two different things. The key thing that we talked about earlier is train up a child. When you train up a child, there is a such thing as called tough love. It ain't all love and dovey is not. And even though my dad didn't have to raise his hand, sometimes when he would just talk to us, it would hurt worse than him yelling or screaming. When we did something bad, my dad said, just meet me at the altar on Sunday morning because he was a pastor. That was worse than a whooping, especially if the line was long and you had to stand in that long line waiting for him to get to you. Because now you're thinking about everything you did. Now you feel bad. Now you don't know what he's going to say. Or what he, that, to me, that done something. And sometimes I tell my wife, all you got to do is just tell him, okay. and walk away from them. Don't do it. Don't take the trash out. I'm going to have Derek do it. That's all you got to say. I'm going to have that. You ain't got to take trash out no more. Don't even worry about it. Because you're sorry and you ain't. Just show them some tough love and see what happens.
Don't care.
Taking games away.
Like, okay.
See, the thing about it is, it will care.
What? Well, I guess that sounds like something else.
See how quick she said it don't care? I don't want to put our business out there like that, like we are. But you
know,
he don't care.
But you know that's what he's not. My kids are more nonchalant. They've been through enough to know if somebody does something, it's like, oh well, they're not gonna care. They're not gonna care. He's not gonna care. He's gonna be like,
but
oh
the
well.
The thing about that is if I have to do it.
Like you said, you're gonna have to
any man would know if I have to do that, I'm going to take it out somewhere else. Because if I have to take it out, I mean, I'm not going to work. You got to find, heck, I'm not going to do that too. I ain't going to take the garbage out and tax you around. No. No. And then the thing about that is, see, I'm not going to get into this right now. I don't want to put my whole business out there like that. But we had enough. I thank you, Overseer.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead and take us home. If you got something else to say, go ahead. Go ahead, Kay. Take us home.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. I pray that we said something that kindled something somewhere in your life, whether you're a step-parent, a step-child, whether you know anybody that's going through a situation, if you could offer some kind words, some encouraging words to help somebody get through a situation, please do so, because we all
that's
need
right.
help, and we all learning, and we all growing, and we want to do things the way the Lord wants us to do it. So if you can help, help. So,
amen.
You know, you may not be exactly in a family that you chose to be in. You may just, your family may just have came along, and it just may be a situation that doesn't seem like is going the way that you think it should go. I'm just going to say keep praying and keep trusting God. And my husband said a word on Sunday, and I want him to remember this word every day. Eventually. Keep going. Eventually. It will happen. Eventually,
right.
It will happen. So just stay focused and keep trusting God. No matter if it don't look like the situation is working right now, in the end, you win with Christ. So just keep your head up and continue to let the Lord lead and guide you. I do have like a couple of scriptures I didn't get to get out. So at your convenience, you can read Ephesians 5 and 21, 1 Peter 2 and 17. We already discussed Proverbs 22 and 6, and then also have 1 Timothy 5 and 2. So again, 1 Timothy 5 and 8, 1 Peter 2 and 17, and Ephesians 5 and 21. So just if you are a step parent, love that child just like you love everybody with the love of Christ. If you are a step child, the people in your life that have authority, if you can respect your teachers in school, if you can respect your coach, you should be able to respect that parent that's in your life that's not your biological parent. So I just pray for everybody, and that's all.
Amen.
That's all I
got. Good word.
Amen. You want to close us out in prayer?
Yes, ma'am. I can. Amen. I can. I enjoyed you both, and thank you once again, Derek and Ms. Kay, for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
Amen. No problem. Anytime. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for another blessed day. We thank you for our life, our soul, our health, and our strength. Most of all, Heavenly Father, we thank you for salvation, redeeming us from everlasting punishment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word went forth and that it touched someone and that it blessed lives, dear Heavenly Father. We're praying for parents, dear Heavenly Father, and children all alike, dear Heavenly Father, that you bless the family. You bless the household, dear Heavenly Father. Bless us to put you first, dear Heavenly Father, and bless us to put love first, that we may grow spiritually, dear Heavenly Father, and that we may be delivered from our way, dear Heavenly Father, whether it be by choice or something's going on in our life, dear Heavenly Father. Deliver us and keep us, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name. We bless and thank you for all the listeners tonight. Amen.
Amen. Thank y'all for listening.
Amen.